You're listening to Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And a very pleasant, a good Saturday morning to you, and welcome into the Week 5 edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner. Boy, the football season just flying by here for us. Daniel Versteg with you. So happy to be joining you here on another Saturday morning of the Coach's Corner that's brought to you every Saturday by Chapman Overhead Door, Nohava Construction, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health Chiropractic, Sitzman Construction, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Get Branded 360, and Ameriprise Financial with Mike and Ross Rulin. The Coach's Corner, once again, will be joined by Ken Vigdahl, Lamar's Community Head Football Coach, as well as Jeremy Schindler, the head coach of the Galen Catholic Jays. So look forward to that. We'll have both of them on here for another edition of the Coach's Corner. And we got wins to talk about with both of them. Lamar's Community picking up a 49-10 victory over the Storm Lake Tornadoes. Outstanding win for Coach Vigdahl and the crew. And then here in town, it was 10th-ranked Galen Catholic beating Akron Westfield 48-26. So both teams now here in Lamar's are 4-1. The Jays 2-1 in district play. Lamar's with their first district win and their first district game of the year, now 1-0 in district play. Other Plymouth County scores that may be of note to you, top-ranked Remsen St. Mary's, they shut out Fort Dodge St. Edmund. A happy homecoming for the Hawks, 63-0. Fourth-ranked Newell Fonda, they beat Kingsley Pearson last night in 8-player District 1, 48-28. Out of Class A District 1, the Hinton Blackhawks enjoy some great homecoming wins. They had a 32-6 victory over Westwood last night. And South O'Brien, unfortunately, spoiled homecoming for MMCRU, 28-7. We've got plenty more scores on our website, KLEM1410.com. And we'll run through all of them again coming up during our noon hour sportscast later on in the noon hour. So look forward to that as well. But let's not waste any more time. Let's get our coaches on the horn. Again, Ken Vigdahl will join us coming up next, the 49-10 victory over Storm Lake. We'll talk with him about that. And then Jeremy Schindler will join us after the Jays beat Akron Westfield last night, 48-26. We have all that coming up during this another edition of the KLEM Coaches Corner. Coach Vigdahl joins us next here on KLEM.
Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Michael K. Rulin about the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. It's a personalized, flexible, step-by-step approach toward financial balance. Call Michael K. Rulin, Financial Advisor, Certified Financial Planner Practitioner, Ross Rulin, Associate Financial Advisor, or Sam Van Wettering, Associate Financial Advisor at 546-9525. Office is located at 129 Central Avenue, Southwest Lamar's, Iowa. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Specializing in EPS buildings and homes, new construction and remodeling, Sitzman Construction has been doing business in the Lamar's area for 15 years. They're your area expert in EPS solid core shops and homes. Jeremy and his crew would love to come out and give you a quote on your post-frame agricultural building, new home construction, or even your home remodeling project. At Sitzman Construction, quality and customer satisfaction are the focus on the job. Call Jeremy today at 546-4263 and start building with the best, because at Sitzman Construction, they satisfy your construction needs.
A complex system of bones, joints, ligaments, and tendons choreographs every movement throughout your day. Where you get care for your body matters. Turn to the experienced team at Floyd Valley Healthcare, where technology, orthopedic care, and therapies meet to support your every move. From sports medicine to scopes and carpal tunnel surgery to complete knee, hip, or shoulder replacements, the orthopedic services at Floyd Valley can help keep your complex system working for you. Floyd Valley Healthcare, your community, your health, your life.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Back for another interview here on the KLEM Coach's Corner. Daniel Versteg with you. The Coach's Corner brought to you by Chapman Overhead Door, Nohava Construction, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health Chiropractic, Sitzman Construction, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Get Branded 360, and Ameriprise Financial with Mike and Ross Rulin. So we'll be talking Lamar's Community Football. Ken Vigdahl's on the line with us after the Bulldogs beat Storm Lake last night, 49-10. It was a district win. It was the second victory in a row. The Bulldogs are now 4-1 to start the year, a game away from guaranteeing a winning season, all that kind of fun stuff. But, Coach, first of all, I think, forgive me if I'm wrong here, If you look back at that first quarter and a half or so, you'd probably like a do-over and would have liked to come out of the gate a little bit stronger. What were some of the things that you saw out of your guys in that first quarter and a half that you just kind of said, man, we just didn't play up to our standards there?
Yeah, you know, we go down and we score right away. We score, so everybody's feeling good. And then, you know, and it's one of those things, and we needed to, you know, shore up some things defensively and offensively, both in that first quarter and a half. But really the play that was kind of weird, and you saw it, was the fact that they punted the ball didn't get blocked, but it didn't go past the line of scrimmage. And, you know, when you have a live ball like that, which I had never seen a ball get punted, not blocked, stay behind the line of scrimmage before. I'm going to be honest with you. I've never seen that in my coaching career. You know, our kids are like, okay, we've got the ball on the 20. We're going to just let it set there. And then I guess it's a live ball, and they picked it up and they ran it. And, you know, they kind of put our defense in back on the field. And then they decided to run some option. And, you know, that's what they decided to do last night. We'd come and prepared a couple of different things because they'd been, you know, doing lots of different things. But last night they were intent on running option, and that's what they wanted to do, which was fine. And then we had ended up having a blown coverage at the end, and the score was 7-7. And so, yeah. But, you know, the thing about it was then we got the ball right back, and, you know, in about four or five plays we were able to score to go up to 14-10. And then, you know, they put a drive together and, you know, have it at 14-10 at half or before that, I guess not before the half, but then we score again. And then, you know, they have a turnover, and I thought our kids did a great job of managing the clock with, you know, less than, you know, 40 some seconds left. We were able to punch in another touchdown. And, you know, like you said, it seemed like it was probably worse than what it was, but at the end of the half, it was 28-10.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I can look at the final score and say, wow, yeah, what a great win. But yeah, you can look at the start and it just didn't, you know, always work for you guys. Like you said, that punt was very odd, and I feel better knowing that you haven't seen a play like that as well, considering you know, the amount of football that you've seen in your career. What was the explanation or the reason given by the officiating crew on that play? Because yeah, it wasn't blocked, but it didn't quite get back to the line of scrimmage at all.
Yeah, and they said it was a live ball, you know, and like I said, you know, our kids were, you know, I can't fault our kids at all. They,
right.
You know, we had three kids around them, and you know, I'm sure where they were, you know, who would not think that the ball would pass the line of scrimmage on a punt? you know what I mean? You would just have to think that as a player, as a coach, as a fan, a kid's going to punt a ball, it's going to go past the line of scrimmage. I mean, you're 13 yards away from the line of scrimmage, and it's like, okay. And so we had kids around there, and they, you know, like I said, they did the right thing, and they're like, okay. But the whistle never blew. They never blew the whistle. So obviously their coaches told their kids, because it was on their sideline, pick it up and run, and the official said that if you punt a ball and it doesn't go past the line of scrimmage, you can pick that up and advance it. So that was the explanation we got from the officials.
Yeah, wow, that's one of those plays that I guess you just store in your lexicon for future use and hope you don't have to pull it out ever again. You talk about that the first couple of drives for you guys, the scoring drives. Did you move the ball so well in those drives? It only took you three plays the first time, and yeah, I guess it only took you about three plays again the second time to get into the end zone. A couple of long touchdown runs for Elijah Doherty and Connor Jalis. Seemed like you guys were running the ball very well all night last night. What was the reason for it as you were watching the game?
Well, I just think last week we struggled to run the ball, and that was the emphasis this week in practice. And, you know, we went back to, you know, the basics and saying, okay, with our upfront guys and say, okay, this is your uncovered recovered. That's our language that we use. And, you know, this is the guy that you're going to have. This is where we want to do it. And, you know, we were able to watch. They slanted, you know, they picked that up from MOC the week before. They slanted so hard that they slanted to our offensive lineman where their stepping is. And so the cutback lane was open. And, you know, like on the first play, we haven't shown trap a whole lot this year. So we ran trap the first or second play that Elijah went ahead and scored there from 50 yards out. So, you know, all that just be able to, you know, now we're starting the sweep and, you know, you get one thing to go. We were able to run in the middle of the field. And then all of a sudden now we're running our sweep and, you know, we got some big yardage on our sweep. So, you know, it was a pretty good night overall. We were able to reach the ends. We were able to be physical on the edges. And so, you know, and then you're not even talking about the score that, you know, we had a penalty at the end with our other group. And, you know, Giovanni ran, must have been, what, 80-some yards?
Yeah.
And gets called back for a hold. But, you know, that's learning process, too, for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. We were so disappointed when we saw that hold on the edge and Giovanni starts breaking free. And, no, yeah, that would have been really cool to give him a big, long run to end the contest on. You know, you guys got so many people involved in the running game. You were talking about with the sweeps, and then you get Elijah Doherty on the inside, and Tegan was keeping the ball as well. All these guys touching the football for you on the ground. That, especially considering, yeah, maybe Connor and Elijah haven't had, you know, the best of games the last few weeks. To see those two, you know, exceed and everybody else get involved in the run game had to be really, you know, pleasing for you as a coach on the sideline.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, I think, you know, and all of those guys will say it starts up front. And, you know, it started with our up front guys last night. I thought they did a great job of really taking their first step, engaging, you know, playing offense on the defensive side of the ball. We were able to get a push, and all those things add up to, you know, now you're in the middle, now you're on the edges, and now you're having Tegan keep it. You know, we got lots of guys who can, you know, handle the ball, and, you know, we have lots of playmakers, and so, you know, like a game like that, you know, there's so many kids that you want to get the ball to and stuff like that, you know, so it was just good to see that everybody was able to get a touch or two, or at least get, you know, when our air attack, you know, get a couple of balls thrown their way, and so, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, it's we have lots of playmakers, and we're trying to get the ball to lots of different guys in lots of different ways.
Ken Vigdahl's with us, head coach of Lamar's Community Football. Yeah, the offensive line played so well. You know, somebody asked me, one of Storm Lake's radio guys, he asked me, you know, you guys got a lot of size up there? And I was like, well, the tackles a little bit have some size, but really in the middle there's not, you know, those big, bulky, you know, 250 offensive linemen that, you find stereotypically on a football team. But what you guys don't have in size, maybe on the line, you guys make for in physicality, as you were talking about. I mean, how that's got to be one of the best parts about your offensive line coach is that they're always going to have a drive in them to, you know, yeah, get up off the ball and push that guy all the way into the other end zone.
Yeah, and, you know, that's kind of what happened, I think, towards the end there where we were able to just run our inside zone and score and stuff. We were able to move the ball. We had Tegan score that touchdown on quarterback sneak with, you know, what, 2 seconds left to go in the half.
Yeah.
You know, and it was kind of like, okay, a yard, and you think you can get a yard. But, you know, they were able to get a major push, and, you know, he basically, you know, was able to follow them right into the end zone 2-3 yards deep because they just kept driving their feet. But, you know, that was, like I said, that was the emphasis we had all week. We thought, you know, the week before against MOC, we kind of stalemated at the line of scrimmage. We didn't want that to happen with Storm Lake. So I give our offensive line credit and our coaches credit. You know, we came out, we fired, like you said, you know, we scored on 3 plays with Elijah with 51. But then it took us 3 plays again to score again. So, you know, that's all credit to coaches and our offensive line and setting that up and having our backs find the hole and get to the end zone.
Coach, The thing I asked you about in pregame was talking about the fight that you guys have, and it's obviously on display in 2 of your games in dramatic fashions late in the game. I think you could probably see it again there at the end of the first half when you guys are up 14-10. You just allowed a field goal drive. They got really close to scoring on that drive. You at least hold them to 3, And then you have 4 minutes to go in the half. You get back into the end zone. You force that turnover, as you talked about earlier, and then you get back into the end zone again. Those two scores with the turnover sandwich in there, how much did that show the fight that you guys have? Maybe on a smaller scale, comparatively speaking, to your two thrilling wins in non-district play. But how did it still show the fight you guys had to try and really give yourselves a big lead heading into the break?
Well, I think that was everything. You know, our defense got that turnover there. And, you know, like I said, our kids do a great job of managing the clock and getting where they need to go. And like when we go our little hurry up there, they move. But, you know, I think there's two cases of that. That gave us great confidence going into half. But it also, all of a sudden, if you're Storm Lake, it's a 10-14 game. And now it's 28-10. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, for us, it was a great confidence builder. For them, it was kind of like, well, we were close, and now we're 18 points away. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of both of those scenarios. But, you know, I just think, you know, it was a great turnover by our, you know, what's odd is we played on so many turf fields, and if you're not standing down there, you really don't know. But you forget the crown of a grass field. And so, like with the turnover, it's on the other side of the field, and the crown of the field was so big, we could hardly even see it from our sideline. But it was we were able to get that turnover. And you know, I think one of the touchdowns was on 4th and 5, too. And we ran that little reverse there, a little bit something different that we haven't done before, and get a score. And like you said, it's all of a sudden we would go boom, boom, and we're in the end zone twice, and we go up big. So, you know, like I said, it was definitely a confidence builder for us.
You go up big to go into the locker room, and then you continue to go up big with 21 more points in the third quarter. One of those was a passing touchdown. You guys didn't throw the ball really at all in the contest. 4 completions for 7 tries for Teagan on the night, but when he did go through the air, it got you something, whether it was a screen for Nolan Cass. He had that touchdown completion to Bo Wadley, or I guess that could have been Nolan Cass, too, with both of them basically running the exact same route on that touchdown reception. But is that kind of how you want your offense to be? Is you want to run the ball primarily, and then when you go through the air, it's that much more impactful?
Well, we're definitely a run-first-oriented offense now. We didn't do a ton of this last night because we didn't have to do a ton of it, but we didn't call a ton of our RPO game that we have. You know, at the end of the day, when you look at us, we're really a 60-40, a 50-50 pass run, just due to the fact that when we give the green light to Teagan and our receivers to run key routes, you know, that's his decision on the field at that time. Am I going to hand it off, or am I going to throw the key routes? So it's one of those things that last night we were able to run the ball. We didn't have to, you know, really call a lot of key routes, which is our wide receiver screens and our bubble screens. And so then that way, you know, yeah, we only threw the ball 7 times, but in a game where we're not rushing, and then, you know, we kind of get up on them and stuff, and, you know, you try to settle in, and running clock makes it go a whole lot faster. Mm-hmm. And stuff. And so, you know, we only ran, I think we ran 38 plays last night. We only had the ball for 18 minutes, but scored 49 points. So, you know, we're really, it's like I said, a 60-40 run pass or a 50-50 run pass team. It's just last night we were able to run the ball, and we stayed with the run game, and we ended up having, I don't know, 250, 300 yards rushing.
Yeah, a great night running the football, great night offensively. We're chatting with Ken Vigdahl, head coach of Lamar's Community Football. I want to ask you about that, the options and the you know, the RPOs and things like that that you run. The huge thing when it comes to that kind of an offense is timing. With everybody involved, everybody's got to be on the same page timing-wise. I think that was on display for you guys last night, especially compared to Storm Lake. They had a couple of their option plays just get blown up because I don't think everybody was on the same page in the contest. How has the timing, you know, maybe improved for Teagan and all the running backs and the wide receivers and all the motion that you guys do with that option? Because there's a lot of moving parts in those plays, Coach, that can really blow up those plays if the timing's not right.
Yeah, exactly. And, it just goes back to practice. I mean, we have open fields in the summer, and every day, you know, we have an RPO drill where we have, you know, it's kind of a four corner thing, and each we have rotating quarterbacks, and we'll try to throw somewhere roughly around 100 footballs in a probably a four or five minute time span. So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts, but, you know, we also practice that. We practice fast. And it's just one of those things. The other thing we try to do is, you know, once we get going, we, you know, even though it looks complex, and I think, you know, maybe it is if you're not around football, but it's very simple, and we try to keep it simple so our kids can make decisions and our kids can play fast, because, you know, just like you go into a game with 20 plays and say, okay, they need to know these 20 plays, but they need to know these 20 plays if they're running a three front, if they're running a four front, if they're running a five front, you know what I mean? So, you know, we have rules and we have all of that, but, you know, all of those things, you know, we like to, we don't huddle in practice. We coach on the run. I mean, we try to get as many possible plays run and practice as we can, either in your segment or in team time. So, you know, we have it simple. I think we have it simple for when we go in motion. You know, we have some discussions on, you know, like if we're going to send him all the way in jet motion and throw it, or, you know, do we want him to get all the way across to a key? So, you know, but the thing is, this is a repetitive thing, and we're constantly doing it. So, you know, this is our second year. It makes it a lot easier for our kids. You know, Storm Lake had a new coach this year. They ran a little bit different offense, and, you know, it's just like some of probably the growing pains we went through last year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Ken Vigdahl's with us, head coach of Lamar's Community Football. At the beginning of the interview, probably felt like we were harping on the defense a little bit, or I was for sure, talking about the 10 points they gave up in the first quarter and a half. But, man, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the final two and a half quarters of the contest. I mean, my goodness, how many they had three and outs in the third quarter. You forced a number of punts. You guys block a kick on special teams. How good was that for the confidence of your defense to say, okay, yeah, you gave up 10 points in the first bit of the contest, but you respond with a shutout? I mean, that had to be really, really huge for them confidence-wise.
Yeah, and Coach talked at halftime about attitude and effort, and, you know, the effort's got to be there the whole time. Your attitude's got to be there the whole time of, you know what, we've got to be able to stop them. We've got to be aggressive. We got to, you know, tackle the ball carrier. Obviously, common sense says that. But it's just, you know, when you run option, there's always there's always that little bit of uncertainty of, okay, quarterback going to keep it? Is he going to pitch it? Is he going to give it to the dive back? So it's kind of like, you know, we practice option, but that was not what we were going into the game with a lot. And because we'd seen them do so many things. But you know what? I think once our kids understood, you know, exactly what we need to do, I thought our defensive line really stepped up in the second half, and all of a sudden they're taking the dive back, that which allows the quarterback to keep it, which allows our linebacker to be there, and our corner was on the pitch. And so, you know, all those things just kind of, once we saw it and we realized what they wanted to do, you know, I thought we really did a great job in the second half. They got down there a couple times, and we came away with a block, PAT, and then, you know, we did, at the end of the game, we stopped them. I think at one time they were almost on the 2 or the 1 yard line, and you know, our other defense was able to stop them and get the ball back and not give up any score. And that's all big for everybody, because, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know what, we expect the same out of everybody that steps on the field.
Absolutely. And one guy who I noticed, and Gabe noticed as well up there, that was really flying to the football and making some great plays was Evan Jalis. Now, obviously, his older brother Connor is going to get a lot of the praise for scoring a couple of touchdowns in the contest. But, man, Evan had 6 tackles. 4 of them were solo out of that inside linebacker spot for you guys. How big has Evan's play been his junior year? I mean, he's not the biggest guy, but boy, does he swarm to the football. He can lay some wood on defense. And then, oh, yeah, he is a focal part of your offensive line.
Yeah, he's our center too, right? So it's one of those things that, you know, he had a great game last night. And, you know, you know, when they run that dive back at you and when they gave it to him, I mean, our line did a great job of keeping, and that's the deal. Our defensive line did a great job in the second half of keeping offensive linemen off him so he can go ahead and make those tackles. And, you know, the backers are the first ones to admit too, just like running back. Hey, it all starts up front with our defense too. So they keep, you know, the offensive tackle and guard off of our linebackers. You know, they're flowing to the hole and they're going to make a tackle.
Well, it was an outstanding win for you guys, and now the contests are a little bit bigger. It's obviously homecoming this week, which is always a double-edged sword for football coaches, and then Webster City comes to town. That in and of itself is a juggernaut as well. What's the mindset for you guys? What does it have to be this week with all of the hoopla around homecoming, and then you got to play a really big football game on Friday night too?
Yeah, and like I told our kids last night, you know what? You enjoy the win. We're 4-1. You enjoy the win last night, Saturday. You go and enjoy and be happy about, you know, everything that we did this weekend. But Sunday morning when you wake up, mindset's got to switch to, here we go. We're going to play Webster City, which is probably, you know, if you've never seen Webster City play, everybody talks about it. It's the spinning back offense. Mm-hmm. Bob Howard's been running that for 40 years. He knows what he's doing with it. He's been in the state championship game with it. And so they've got some really great kids. You're going to hear a kid's name called Jackson Cherry. Mm-hmm. He's having a great year for him as a running back. And like I said, I told our kids, we got to get in and watch how much film you watched last week. We got to double it because, you know, this offense that you're going to see is different. I mean, if you've never seen it, it's one of those things like it's – not unbelievable, but it's like, oh, I've never seen anything like that because he's the only one in the state that does it. And like I said, I'm sure he's the guy who somewhere along the line developed it, you know, mm-hmm. for running it for 40 years. But, you know, they're physical. I mean, they're physical. They're going to be physical. That's who they are. That's who he is as a head coach. You can just see his mindset. And, you know, we're going to have to be ready. We have to be able to push all those other things to the side. And, you know, we'll have the coronation, we'll have the parade, we'll have all that good stuff for the community and stuff. But I remind our kids, everybody comes back for the football game.
Yes.
You know, so that, you know, we want everybody to have a great time during homecoming week. It's important for our school. It's important for our alumni and our kids at school. But at the end of the day, we have to focus on the game. We have to kind of set some of those things aside and say, okay, this is what we have to do. We have to get ready for Webster City because it's going to be a tough physical game. I think they're rated number 5 or 6 in the state now. And when you start getting that in 4A, that means you're a pretty physical football team.
Very physical. And yeah, if you didn't make the trip to Webster City last year to see this team play, yeah, you're going to want to come out for all the homecoming festivities. And yeah, the football game is going to be huge coming up Friday night. Coach, we'll let you go, and we're hopeful we'll have a good week for you guys, and best of luck to your guys here this week. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. That is Ken Vigdahl, head coach of Lamar's Community Football. Jeremy Schindler, Galen Catholic head football coach, joins us next here on the KLEM Coach's Corner.
At Nohava Construction, we build the world's best roofs, and we stand behind them. We've been recognized as an elite roofing specialist year after year. At Nohava Construction, we have a high accuracy rating. We use the world's finest roofing technology for our commercial projects. Whether it's new construction or roof replacement, we work hard for our customers. You're the reason we installed the best commercial roofs around. Nohava Construction, your elite roofing specialist.
Nohava Construction Lamar's has roofing covered and then some.
Do you need shirts for an event? Get Branded 360 offers competitive pricing and awesome customer service. Get Branded's graphic artist can take your ideas and create a design for you. Get Branded 360 carries a variety of blank clothing. Get a tank top for the hot weather, a sweatshirt for cool nights, and t-shirt for any time at Get Branded 360.
When you want to show appreciation for someone's generosity, kindness, or achievement, Dryco Products Incorporated can assist you with a wide selection of high-quality recognition products. Go to www.drycoproducts.com to see examples of the complete line of displays, building directories, employee tenure, wall of fame, memorials, sales performance, education, medical, faith, military, and much more. Dryco Products is your source for personalized gifts, such as Bible covers, wine glasses, picture frames. Almost anything is possible to personalize. Contact Dryco Products for more ideas. Dryco Products online, www.drycoproducts.com.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we welcome you back to the Coach's Corner that's brought to you every Saturday morning by Chapman Overhead Door, Nohava Construction, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health Chiropractic, Sitzman Construction, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Get Branded 360, and Ameriprise Financial with Mike and Ross Rulin. Joining us now is Jeremy Schindler. He's the head coach of the 10th-ranked Galing Catholic Jays, who came away with a 48-26 victory over Akron Westfield last night in Class A District 1 action. The Jays now part of that three-way tie for second in the district. But first of all, the win, big win for you guys, Coach. You guys wasted no time, did you? First couple of plays, you guys get into the end zone again. It just seems like, man, you guys know how to get out of the gate in a hurry, and you did that again last night.
Yeah, you know, we had a great start. We took actually first play game, we took a negative play. We lost 3 yards and then Cale Pearson hit the hole, and our line provided a big one, and when he hits the hole hard, he's gone. And he had a very nice night, and that was a great way to get it started. And then kind of a happy accident on the ensuing kickoff. Keaton Logan actually kind of whiffed. It really wasn't a called onside kick, but he almost whiffed on the kick, hit a hard grounder at one of their front linemen. It bounced off of him, and we recover that. And then we drive down and take that in for a score. So, yeah, up 14-0 really quick in the ball game, and it was a great way to start.
Yeah, we're going to be talking a lot about Cale Pearson, I have a feeling, throughout the rest of the contest. But, boy, what does it do? I mean, you've had a couple of these games now when you start off big and you get a couple of touchdowns early on. What does that do for a team's confidence or how they play the game that just makes it so important to be able to have a good start?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the coaches, you can give all the pep talks you want in the locker room before the game, but, you know, honestly, after those first couple plays, that energy from that pep talk is probably gone. So to be able to strike really quickly like we have, it just keeps that energy of the entire team up. And you know, when good things happen for us, we play with an incredible amount of effort and intensity and passion. And so that's always good to see. And to get off the quick starts really helps that.
The second quarter then, but one thing we know is that Ian Blau is going to run the football very well for Akron Westfield, 131 yards, had a couple of touchdowns there in quarter number two. What did they start running then at that point, and that kind of maybe pushed you guys back a little bit and gave them the opportunities to get into the end zone?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't anything special. They stayed in their shotgun, and they just handed the ball off to 24. And, you know, it's something that they – you know, we knew it was coming, and we just didn't really tackle very well, especially in that second quarter. You know, we think our secondary is pretty good, so we had a good idea that they were going to try and run the football. We just didn't tackle well and didn't execute very well. And he's the type of kid you got to get multiple people to him. Otherwise, you're not bringing him down. Big, strong kid. And so we just had to tackle better in that first half, really.
Yeah, it seems like that's not a recurring theme, but it's something that's been brought up a couple of weeks now here for you guys. You see it a lot in the first half with you guys. Is it something that they just defensively anyway need to come out with that intensity that you guys see offensively a little bit more?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, it's a lot of the same kids, but we were missing two of our inside linebackers. Brandon Gangler and Cole McCarty didn't play last night. So, you know, Ryan Augustine moved into our middle linebacker spot, and then we had two sophomores get their get their starts, and they played the whole game defensively for us, basically, Dylan Pakus and Jake Bogan. And you could just tell, especially at the beginning, just a smidge of hesitation from those guys. They, you know, didn't trust their reads, didn't trust their eyes, what they were seeing. And, you know, when you're a half second late to go make a play on their running back, you know, that could be costly. But I thought as the game went on, our defensive line started to play better, which then helped those younger linebackers continue to play better as the game went on. And we saw some really good things from them in the second half. So that's only going to make us better as we get healthier, you know, hopefully throughout the rest of the season. And now we have, you know, instead of just three linebackers, now maybe we have five guys that we can rotate and keep people fresh and trust in.
Right, yeah, I see a lot of those linebackers and a lot of those linemen getting a lot of tackles for you guys. A guy, again, that really catches my eye is a Will Harpinaugh or Gabe Wilchin even on the end there. I mean, those are two guys that are so vital to your defense. They're guys who step up and make plays, and especially when you're facing a running back like an Ian Blau, those guys are hugely important to be able to slow him down at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And those two had great games. You know, we've moved Will out and are playing him a little bit at the defensive end spot, a little more than the nose guard spot, just because we don't have Aiden Spangler quite back yet. And so to be able to move Will around like that, and he's athletic enough to play out there, yet he's still a big, strong, physical kid, and Gabe brings that physical presence too. Those guys had really good nights stopping the run, especially in the second half. They got off blocks and made a few nice plays.
Jeremy Schindler's joining us. He's the head coach of Galen Catholic football. Again, a 48-26 victory for the Jays over Akron Westfield. And, well, a lot of the scoring, a good chunk of the scoring anyway, for Mr. Cale Pearson. You know, obviously with Aiden Spangler out, there was a need to step up, of course, on the defensive line, as you talked about just there, but on the ground as well. Boy, did he ever. Over 10 yards of carry, three touchdowns, 238 yards total for Cale. Coach, what was the secret last night? Or did he have a secret?
Well, I think it starts off with if I remember correctly, I think Akron only put one lineman-type body out on the field on defense. They have skill players, guys who are skill players on offense. You know, number 17 and 18 are your defensive tackles. Number 28 is a defensive end, you know. So I think they did bring in 53 later on to play in the defensive tackle spot. He's their big center. You know, Coach Walkingstick is a big believer in trying to play kids one way. And, you know, I felt that we were going to be a bigger, stronger, more physical team than them. They were light in the box for most of the night. They were trying to double Keaton Bonderson. And so it was like, well, you got two guys on him. That's one less person that's going to make a tackle. You know, so I just thought that – I thought we had an advantage in the running game, and our offensive line really came to play last night, and they kind of had their way basically the entire night. We didn't take a whole lot of negatives, and we ripped off, you know, big play after big play. So really a credit to those guys, and we did it from the I formation. We also did it from the spread too, which is really good to see. Sometimes we've had success in the past of running out of the eye, but then when we go on our spread, our running game isn't quite as physical, and I thought that's something that was physical was our running game from the spread last night.
Oh, and it was shown by the amount of times you guys run the football too. 36 carries to just 7 passes for your offense. You've always talked about how you don't want to be one or the other most of the time, but if you see a defense that's, you know, going to give you the ground game, you'll take it. Was that just kind of the read you had calling plays last night? You saw what they were putting up front, and you said, hey, this is our chance to really just run it down their throats?
Yeah, you know, just that us being bigger, stronger, more physical up front than they were. And then, you know, the fact that you know, we were able to get in formations. You know, I've had a tendency in the past to run to the strong side in the I formation. And that's something that we're trying to break that tendency this year. And, And that this group of linemen is good enough that we're able to go to the strong side or the weak side. And that's really what happened on a couple of those big long runs that we had, is we caught them in a blitz. They were coming off of our strong side, and we called a play to the weak side, and we were able to hit it and spring it for a big play just because we had outnumbered them. Yeah, it was really good to see that. You know, we did hit a couple big plays in the passing game, and finally got into the end zone in the passing game on our last touchdown drive. The guys, the offensive line did a great job, and there was just an advantage in the line of scrimmage, and that's the biggest reason why we just kept hammering the ball down the field.
Jeremy Schindler's with us. He's the head coach of Galen Catholic football after the Jays beat Akron Westfield 48-26 last night. Coach, unfortunately, this has been a bit of a trend for you guys the last couple of years, but I guess fortunately it's been revealing as to, okay, we've got more, horses in the stable to be able to go to. Last year was obviously Dylan Lehman going down. Aiden Spangler stepped up big for you in the running back position. Now Aiden goes down. Cale's been able to step up. He's got now 460 some odd yards and 5 touchdowns in just a couple of games of starting. This has got to be one of those kind of really good things to see for you. I mean, it's got to give you all the confidence in the world for when Aiden comes back that you're going to have so many guys to give the football to when it comes to running it when he comes back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had a suspicion that Cale was going to be a good football player for us this year. And for me as an offensive play caller, I can see it in practice, but I really want to see it in the games. And I think he really earned his stripes in the Lawton game and had a great game there. And so now I have all the confidence in the world in Cale Pearson. And when we get Aiden back and you have that 1-2 punch, and they provide a little something different. You know, Aiden's a little bit bigger, fit more physical runner. You know, Cale's a little bit quicker, and he hits the hole. So they provide something different. And just to keep those guys fresh. That's going to be – teams aren't going to be able to focus on our passing game. I think that's the big thing, is everybody focuses so much on Connor Kraft and Keaton Bonderson, and they're great football players. But if you're going to do that, then we're going to be physical, and we're going to run it down your throat. And that's the way I love to play football. So that was a fun game for me to call last night.
Very fun. And, yeah, I love looking at these numbers and the box score when you can just see a team who runs for almost 9 or 8 yards a pop and really moving the ball well. One thing that I also noticed from you guys last night is, boy, Akron Westfield had a really tough time passing the football. Leighton Cook completes less than 50% of his passes. You pick him off a couple of times with Landon Ryder and Keaton Bonderson. You talked about your secondary early on as being outstanding. I'd say they probably showed that again last night.
Yeah, Coach Onzone puts together a great game plan, and Akron does what we call the check with me, where they line up and they give a dummy cadence, and they want the defense to show what they're going to do, and then everybody turns and looks at their coach, and he gives them the play because he wants to see what the defense is going to do. And something that we talked with our secondary about disguising coverages. We play about 3 or 4 different coverages, and I thought they did a really good job last night of disguising those. And, Landon gets a huge pick in the first at the end of the first half. They were going in to score to tie things up, and Landon gets or make things closer. And Landon gets a huge pick. He had kind of been burned on a play before where they kind of ran a double move on him. He gets called for a PI or a hold. I don't know which one it was. It was kind of a soft call, but so then he learned from the mistake, though, and he was able to execute the coverage that Coach Ellenzone called to a T, and made a nice play. They tried the same double move on him, and he's able to pick it off, and that was huge before the end of the half, just to give us some momentum. And then Keaton Bonderson, he gets his hands on the ball on defense a lot. I think it's 6th interception of the year. It is a great play, and we had two linemen drop picks on screens We almost had, you know, that, and then we had another pick that was dropped too. So we could have got our hands on a lot more, but you know, they just did. Everybody wanted to get in the mix last night, touching the football, the linemen and everybody. So
yeah, and Keaton's 6 interceptions now on the year. That is still tops in Class A, in case you're curious. Of course, not all the stats have been put in, but I don't doubt that he's still the leader in Class A football on interceptions. That's got to be the other cool thing too. Is Keaton's been taken away a lot on the offensive side of the football. He had one catch. He did get into the end zone on it, but yeah, I mean, only one catch last year. He's probably getting 6 or 7 catches and 100 yards for you guys, but he's still having an impact, huge impact defensively and special teams wise. I mean, that's part of the fun with Keaton Bonderson. I'm sure it's a great for you, Coach, that you can still make him a vital part of your contest, even if it's not on the offensive side.
Absolutely. You know, he does a great job defensively for us. Coach Ellenzone has schooled him up so well on how to play that single high safety, and he's the fastest kid in Class A football, and he can literally cover from sideline to sideline. And so, you know, he does a great job of reading the quarterback's eyes. We give him a lot of freedom back there to try and roam and make plays, and he reads if he reads the quarterback up well and gets a jump on the ball, there's a good chance he plays as a defensive back. He plays the ball like a receiver in the air, which is what you want, which is what great DBs do. And so for him to be able to, when team's going to toss it up, he's going to go get it.
Yeah, and he got it well. He's getting it well for the first few games of the year. Coach, now 5 weeks in the books. You guys have won 3 in a row. You're 2-1 in district play, all these kind of good stuff. And now you're heading to South O'Brien next week for another tough test. It's probably not the South O'Brien team of maybe the last couple of years, but you know one thing, you can't overlook a team like South O'Brien, even if they may be slightly down from a couple of years. What is it that the guys have to be ready for before they head up to Paulina for a tough district game?
Yeah, I don't know if you can even say they ain't the South O'Brien teams of years past. I mean, they're still a really good football team.
Yeah.
You always know they're going to be extremely well coached. Coach Furman up there does a great job. He's a great individual, and you know they always are going to play hard. They're going to play physical. We talked about it last night. We're going to learn from film this morning, and you got to bring your lunch pail. This is a lunch pail week. We're going to have to be able to do a lot of things offensively to be able to score. They play really good football on the defensive side. But this is the type of team you want to play against because they do things the right way in terms of their scheme. They play a multitude of coverages, and they're physical at the point of attack on offense. You know, they're not very flashy on offense, but they're gonna do the 5 or 6 or 7 things that they do really well, and they're going to do it really good. And so for us, it's going to come down to we gotta be more physical than them, and we have to execute better than them. And so the guys know that's what the challenge is, and I think they're ready to take that on this week.
I think they are too. And you look at where you guys are here in week 5. I feel like this is probably more the halfway point for you guys, considering there will more than likely be a week 9 with you guys playing some meaningful football there. What's the grade you guys have given your team so far, the things they've done well, and maybe still the things that they'll need to improve on here for the home stretch and hopefully some, like I said, meaningful football here coming up?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think on defense, the biggest thing is we have to tackle a little bit better. And I think you've seen that in second halves where we do tackle better. But we, as a coaching staff, we definitely would like to see that from the start. So I think that's number one on defense. And then on offense, I think, you know, the running game is going really well right now. I think as a play caller, I need to make sure that I find ways, even when teams try and take away Keaton, we still have to get him the ball. You know, we got him the ball on the last touchdown drive because, you know, we were able to call a timeout, and we have a couple different tags that I don't know if some of our younger guys who are in there are as comfortable with, and being able to explain it in the timeout and then get him into a position where they can't double team him, it was exactly what we needed. Now, we have to be able to be able to call those tags in the regular flow of the game and have our younger guys be comfortable with that, so we don't have a big play that gets called back because we're not lined up correctly. And so just finding a way to get him the ball a little bit more consistently would be nice on offense.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'd be nice to get him going in all three phases for you guys. Coach, we'll let you go. We'll be talking this week, though, as you prepare for South O'Brien, and we'll have the coverage here on KLAM. But, hey, have a good film session this morning, and we'll talk to you this week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Absolutely. Jeremy Schindler, he's the head coach of Gatling Catholic Football, joining us. We'll be back to wrap up the Coach's Corner after this on KLAM.
The pursuit of true health. That's the goal of Dr. Jared Langle of True Health Chiropractic, Lamars. Dr. Jared was born and raised in Lamars, and along with his wife, Sarah, they look forward to raising their family and serving the community with a holistic approach to chiropractic, guiding patients to mindful movement and proper nutrition. True Health Chiropractic, offering adult chiropractic along with care for babies and children, fertility and pregnancy, accepting your insurance. True Health Chiropractic, located just off Business Highway 75 South Lamars, across from Four Brothers. Call 712-305-0154. Discover wellness. Discover True Health Chiropractic, Dr. Jared Langle. And like True Health Chiropractic on Facebook.
Are you looking for local and dependable overhead door sales and service? Hi, my name is Adam, owner of Chapman Overhead Doors. We are excited to bring over 30 years of experience from the Spencer area to Lamar's and surrounding communities. Chapman Overhead Doors services all makes and models of commercial and residential garage doors. We sell only the highest quality Midland doors. Call Chapman Overhead Doors for a free quote today. 541-1179. That's 541-1179.
Corner live on 1410 AM 96.9 FM KLEM.
And we're back one final time here on the KLEM Coach's Corner for another Saturday morning. Again, the Coach's Corner is brought to you by Chapman Overhead Door, Nohava Construction, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health Chiropractic, Sitzman Construction, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Get Branded 360, and Ameriprise Financial with Mike and Ross Rulin. My thanks again, as always, to Ken Vigdahl and Jeremy Schindler, Lamar's Community and Gatling Catholic football coaches, respectively. We love chatting with them about all of the things that make their teams great, and they're playing some outstanding football. No matter which team is playing at home at Jim Lorenzen Field in the next few Friday nights, you got to get out there. They are playing some great football. They're both 4-1. They're both contending in their district, and they're both probably going to be playing some meaningful football here in the next few weeks. So get on out to Jim Lorenzen Field. No matter who's out there, whether it's Lamar's or Galen, you're going to see some outstanding football. Coming your way this week on the KLEM sports broadcast schedule, Tuesday night, Lamar's Community Volleyball looks for their first conference win of the year as they take on Sergeant Bluff Luton in Sergeant Bluff. We'll have the coverage for you with First Serve at 7 o'clock. And then our football game Friday night features the Gatling Catholic Jays taking on South O'Brien up in Paulina. That'll be, again, on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel, and we'll have it for you right here broadcast live on KLEM Radio. Also Friday for Lamar's community fans, the homecoming festivities that we talked about with Coach Vigdahl, they will all be live streamed and broadcast here on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel and right here on KLEM Radio. We'll have coverage of the homecoming coronation. That's at 1 o'clock, and then we'll broadcast the parade as well later on at the early part of the 2 o'clock hour. So look forward to that coming up on Friday afternoon as well. That'll do it for another edition of the Coach's Corner. Some big college football games here this Saturday, so make sure you tune in for that. For all of us at KLEM Radio, KLEM Sports, I'm Daniel Versteeg. Have a great weekend.